Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story of a man who was having difficulty communicating, like me. Anyway, communicating with his wife, and concluded that she was becoming hard of hearing. So he decided to conduct a little test on his own, and without her knowing about it. One evening, he sat in a chair on the far side of the room. Her back was to him, so she couldn't see him. And very quietly, he says, "Can you hear me?" And there was no response. Moving a little closer, he asked again, "Can you hear me now?" And there was still no response. Quietly, he edged closer and whispered the same words, but still no answer. Finally, he moved right in behind her chair and said, "Can you hear me now?" And the wife responded with irritation in her voice, "For the fourth time, I said yes." It's the same thing with our spiritual communication, to some degree. The hearing problem may not be with God not speaking, but with us not listening. If I had to sum up all these scriptures that we read today, I think we would fall into a pattern of listening, believing, and receiving. Listening to what is being said, believing it is what is being told, and receiving the promise that is given. In our gospel reading is the Feast of Dedication, which is kind of appropriate since we're having a baptism today. Which is what the modern day is Hanukkah, or Feast of Lights. It is the day when the Jews celebrated the last rebuilding of the temple and the last deliverance from their enemies. And Jesus was, as his custom, went to the temple, and we are told that the Jews gathered around him, but the Greek word here means to close in on him. They closed in on Jesus. They were pressing in once again for an answer. They're seeing all these things that are happening around them, and they know something is special about Jesus. So they are anxious. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, if they had been listening, they would have heard a lot of the things that Jesus said about himself. Just from John's account in John's gospel, Jesus could have said, "I told you I am the one who came from heaven. I told you whoever believes in me has eternal life. I told you I am the unique Son of God. I told you I will judge all humanity. I told you the Hebrew scripture all speak of me. I told you I perfectly reveal God the Father. I told you I am uniquely sent from God. I told you before Abraham was, I am. I told you I am the Son of Man, prophesied by Daniel. I told you I will raise the dead. I told you I'm the bread of life, the light of the world. I told you I'm the door, and I told you I am the good shepherd." So Jesus could have said all those things. But he said, "I told you, but you didn't listen." As I was putting all this together, I had a vision of my childhood and how many times I skinned my knee or lacerated one thing or another, and my mother, the nurse, would say, "I told you so, but you didn't listen to me." Jesus goes on to explain, "But since you didn't listen, the works that I do bear witness to what I did tell you." Today we have all kinds of ways to tell someone who someone is by what they have done or the credentials they have. I could tell you who I am through some of my credentials. I can whip out my driver's license and show you that. I can show you a birth certificate. I can show you the college degree and the seminary degree and an ordination certificate. That can verify a lot about me, but that's not everything that defines me. What are the credentials of the Messiah? You see, Jesus wanted them to discover the reality of who he is by showing them his credentials. He is the Son of God. He wanted them to discover his credibility through the teaching and through the works that he did. Jesus warned about many who would be coming and claim to be a Messiah who are false messiahs. Had Jesus just gone out and claiming to be Christ, he had probably gotten some followers, but they would have had no credibility behind their words. Jesus doesn't just want followers who just to be a follower. He is trying to reach the heart of those who would hear him. He wants people to seek a relationship with the Father. We have seen, even today, cult leaders who would express a lot of hype but have no credibility. That's why study of the Scripture is so important. Jesus let the Scripture speak for themselves. The Jews had all the prophetic background that they needed about the coming of the Messiah. His birth was a miracle. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent word to Jesus with a question? Are you the one that we are to expect, or is there another? Well, why would John the Baptist even ask that? He's a prophet. He knew what to expect. He baptized Jesus. He acknowledged him then. But now in prison, he wants some kind of assurance. And Jesus sent back to John what a prophet should know, or somebody who's been reading the Scriptures should know, about the Messiah's credentials. Jesus said, go and tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophetic words given over the centuries. Again, Jesus told the Jews, I told you, but you did not believe. And he goes on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, some are listening. There's something special going on here. Their hearts are stirred. They have caught on to what Jesus has been saying. They have been watching how the pieces are now coming together. And it's starting to make sense. And they're hearing the voice of the Messiah. Jesus uses the metaphor of sheep as an example. In fact, sheep know and remember the voices of their shepherd even years after being separated. I had the opportunity to ask a sheep herder, a sheep farmer, if that is true. Absolutely true. You see, we were all created by God for a purpose. That purpose is to have an active relationship with him. There is a part of every one of us that desires that relationship, to hear that voice. Whether we accept it or reject it, we all are created with that desire to be in one with God. So what keeps us from listening? Well, sin certainly keeps us from listening. When Adam and Eve sinned, they separated themselves from God out of shame. But even in their sin, God went looking for them. He wanted them. He searched for them. But their ears had become deaf through sin. Even as Christians, if we continue in the act of sinning against God, it's hard to hear what God is saying in the midst of that. So sin certainly can be a hindrance. But sometimes just our busyness of life, even in ministry, can distract us. We need to get to a place where we sit down with him, read his word given to us, and just listen. I know you've seen this. You go into a restaurant and whole families are sitting around a table and every one of them is texting or looking at their cell phones. Hopefully not texting each other, but I wouldn't be surprised. As Debbie and I have caught ourselves doing that on occasion. Oops, I need to email this person before I forget. Oops, I need to text this person so I can get them an answer. I'm guilty. I love technology in our communication advances. But heartfelt communication is one-on-one and we need that time with God to listen and to speak to him, and he speaks back. It's hard to listen when you are distracted by other things. We need to listen. We need to hear his voice. And he speaks to us through his word as we read it, and to our spirit as we pray. God desires us to listen and follow him, to know his voice. And his voice never contradicts his word. He gives us direction. He gives us comfort. He gives us strength. But beyond that, we need to believe what he says. Believe what he says is true. And then, because this is real, You will be amazed at how he works through you when we're listening and then we receive. When the disciples were anointed with the Holy Spirit, there was a directive given to them, and that directive was to go. They were to go and heal the sick, raise the dead, and make disciples. People saw through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and they believed. Does God do these things today? Yes, he does. Do we see it every day? Not necessarily. But when something marvelous happens, it is for one purpose. It is to glorify God, just like he did when Jesus did it when he was on earth with us. God wants us to know his credentials. He is still who he says he is. The Holy Spirit moved on Peter to walk 3 hours to the next town and pray for Tabitha, who after prayer was raised from the dead. The outcome was that it was many who came to believe Christ from that miracle. But the point is, when the Holy Spirit moves on us, we need to believe what he says. What happens too often is that we don't believe. We might run into an obstacle. There might be unbelieving opposition. We may feel the task is too big for us. Or worse, we become afraid of what he might ask us to do. Consequently, we look at something God might call to us to do and say, well, that won't work. That mindset almost kept me out of seminary. But God is saying, I'll get you through it. He never calls us into something that he wants to support us through it. He wants and desires to be a part of our lives, to guide us through this and into eternity. Do you believe that? In just a few minutes, we're going to baptize little Adeline. Her parents and godparents will be making a promise to stand by her and teach her and help her grow in knowing the Lord. We as a congregation and body of Christ will make a promise to stand by them as well. Life can be hard at times, and we need to support one another. But most of all, we have the assurance that God will walk us through this life if we let him. David wrote Psalm 23 because he knew God was with him no matter what was on the road ahead, and he had been through a lot. He knew why? Because he knew his God and has experienced him in his life. Remember those credentials I told you about myself just a bit ago? Yes, they certify who I am here and now, but what I have done here, or what I've done here and now, but those pieces of paper with my name on it, or anybody's name, don't mount to a hill of beans compared to my identity with Christ. Because that, my friends, is eternal. That is forever. And someone being prayed for, someone coming to Christ, someone experiencing the reality of the Holy Spirit in their lives for the first time is more important than any piece of paper. It's priceless, and it glorifies God. Because salvation, as we read in Revelation, belongs to God. And folks, that's the bottom line. When a miracle happens, no matter what it is, it brings glory to God. It brings a witness to his interaction into our lives. It brings a blessing to us and to others. But most of all, it shows the power of God who loves his people and a call to come back to him. So let us listen to his word, study his word, and get real with who he is. Believe what he promises us, and move in a direction that will draw you closer to him. And then receive it. God wants to use you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to receive his blessing here and now and in the future. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit. Lord, I ask that you would move mightily in the hearts of your people, all of us here, Lord God, that you would give us that hunger to listen, to acknowledge who you are, and to not be afraid to move out when you call us to move out, but to use us, Lord God, as your witnesses in this world around us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what we're about to do as we baptize Adeline. We ask, Lord God, that you would just be with her and as we receive her and as you receive her, Lord. And we thank you, Father. And we give all these things to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.